Thank you. stretch rainbow to guide me through this dry, barren land. Oh, and when I don't know which way blood has cleansed me from all guilt and sin. just which way to turn or go. I still trust you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you.
I lift my hands in honor.
longer. Your blessings can't contain. So I worship and I magnify your name.
God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. There's a lot of folks that'd like to be here today. They'd like to be here instead of where they are. But the Lord understands their circumstance, and we'll pray for them and ask the Lord to have mercy upon them. But I'm thankful that we're here, truly. I'm thankful for this spirit that we feel and the setting that we have. It's a wonderful privilege to be in the house of God, to be called by the Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Among God's people, it's easy for us to take each other for granted, to take each other lightly, if you will. I say it's easy. We do miss our fellow brothers and sisters when they're not here, though. But if we're not careful, it all becomes common to us. And the truth of the matter is, it is common. But when the Spirit of the Lord gets mixed in with that, ooh. What's ordinary becomes extraordinary. Praise God. When you feel the Spirit of God come in and feel that, you know, tingling inside, and that hunger begins to well up inside your heart, and you begin to long for more than what you've had in the last few days. Wow. Jesus said, if you drink, he told that little woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. I thought about that scripture for a few weeks now since Brother Smith put that out there. And you know, for what the Lord offers us, there's no substitute. There's no alternative. There's nothing as good as. There's nothing even close. And so when you taste and of the truth of the Word of God, and when you drink His Spirit, you'll never thirst again for something like it, because there's nothing else like it. You know the old saying, there ain't nobody's cooking like mama's cooking. And it's hard on a married couple when they first get married, because the guy expects the wife to cook like mama could. But when you taste the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you'll never thirst again for anything like it, because there's no substitute. There's nothing that's greater than the Spirit of God. There's nothing that'll bring the refreshing to your soul. There's nothing that can bring peace of mind. There's nothing that'll help settle your your troubled conscience. There's nothing that can bring healing like a touch from the Spirit of God. That old chorus, just a touch from the Lord. How's that go? It's so real. Just a touch from the Lord is so real. Wow, it is. It's. I'll never forget when I got the Holy Ghost. It was just like my life. It was just like my whole experience. Everything about me. You know, my thoughts. The way I felt, the way I looked at things, just like everything just changed, just like that. My life just changed in a moment when I tasted of the Spirit of God. Jesus told that little lady, he said, the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. You'll never want for anything else, because this is as good as it gets. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, as we've been, I guess, the Bible study talking about iniquity and your will versus God's will. We know that receiving the Spirit of God requires humility. There's just no way to circumvent that. It requires a humbling of ourselves, a yielding of our own ways, our own will, our own desires and hopes. It requires a submission to the Lord, to His Word, to leadership, order. It requires a humbling of ourselves down to receive. And the carnal mind will trick us. It'll cause us to be deceived and think that happiness and joy and peace of mind comes from other things. But when you reach that point in your life where there's no peace, there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no satisfying, and then all the things in your world just become irrelevant, all the things that you hold dear, all the things that are significant to you become insignificant, when you reach that point in your life where you don't really care whether, you know, you got tears running down your face or your hair's messed up or you don't care, you know, if other people are looking at you, when you reach that point in life, when you've suspended all of your what ifs and wherefores, when you reach that place in your life where you just, Lord, I'm yours. I don't care if you wad me up and reshape me into whatever image that you want. I don't care. I'm yours. When you reach that place in your life, when you say, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. When you reach that place in your life, then that's when the Spirit of God begins to start flowing through you. That's when you begin to experience a death of your will and a life, a living of His inside you, where you become a living vessel, a vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. And so that's why we come out to the house of God. We've all had experiences this week. We've all had ups and downs. We've all had trials and tests this week. Some of us have been through the ringer, and some of us have been made multiple trips through the ringer, and some of us feel like that, you know, the world's coming, you know, crushing. We're crushing under the weight of the world, and we've got friends in the hospital. We've got loved ones that are sick. People on the road. We're feeling burdens upon our life. That's why we come to the house of God. That's why we come out here and gather together in the name of the Lord to worship Him, because we know that He said, He told us, He told that little lady, He said, you're thirsty, you'll be back here tomorrow. You're going to be thirsty again tomorrow. He said, but let me tell you something, what I'm giving you today will satisfy that longing, that hunger, that thirst inside you, and you'll never want a substitute. You know, you'll never want a secondary option, because it'll never be as good. Oh, you may think you do. There's been times where I thought I did. There's been times where I pursued a secondary option. Said, not now, Lord. You know, I really am not interested right now. I know that's good, but I think this is pretty good too. There's been times when I've just kind of put the Lord off. Said, not now, Lord. Leave me be. Leave me to my own devices. There have been times where I just thought I could handle it on my own. But you know what I found out? The things that I thought were pretty good weren't nearly as good as what the Lord had for me. The things that I thought were going to satisfy me didn't satisfy me like the Lord would satisfy me. Praise God. And it's like that song, I Still Trust You. There's been so many times in my life where I found myself leaning and trusting in things that weren't of God, things that I thought were stable or important, things that I thought had, you know, strength. But I tell you, I find myself back around. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you in everything, in every trial, in every test. I still trust Him. And, you know, when we were singing that song, there's a verse in the 9th chapter of Mark. Some verses there. That Jesus' disciples, they came up on a boy that had came up on a man who had a son that was possessed of a spirit, a dumb spirit. Mark 9:17. And the boy would taketh and teareth himself and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And the man said, I spake to thy disciples, in the 18th verse, he said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And you know, my wife was telling me last night, that there's a fugitive on the loose somewhere around Faulkner, Pulaski County. It has been for days or something like that. And I guess they've caught two or three of them here lately. escaped convicts and so forth. And she's telling me, I can't exactly remember what we were talking about, but there's trouble. You know, it don't matter whether you're in downtown Little Rock or out in the county, there's still criminals, there's still people breaking the law, there's still people causing offense. I said, we wouldn't even known about it if it hadn't been for Facebook. the news publishes on the internet, and you get to hearing all these stories, and we hear about Ebola, and I've never met anybody who's had Ebola, but everybody's afraid of it. Maybe rightfully so, I don't know. But you hear about mystery colds spreading across the country, and you hear about all kinds of sickness and detriments that are threatening our lives, and things, we're surrounded by a cloud of fear and danger. But we don't. The only reason we know about all that is because of the sharing of information, the internet, and television, and radio. But here we are. Whether we know about it or whether we don't know about it, that doesn't mean we're not surrounded by it. I told her, I said, well, even if we didn't know about it, that guy'd still be out there. That convict that's on the run, he'd still be out there. We just wouldn't know about it. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. And so here the disciples, they came up on a man. And this guy had a boy, and his boy was sick with a dumb spirit. And they couldn't do nothing about it. So he said, and that's, I suspect that there's going to come a day when we're going to find ourselves in circumstances where the hospital can't heal them, the medicine's not healing, we're already there with cancer in some instances, where there's no cure, there's no magic pill, there's no procedure that'll fix this condition. We're already there with schizophrenia. If you haven't had any dealings with somebody who's schizophrenic, that even the medicines they take doesn't solve their problems. We're there in many cases with drug addiction. People have drug addictions and they can't. We saw a man right here in this church just waste away. He had a desire, he had a hunger to live for God, but he couldn't escape the addiction in his life. And so we're faced with uncertain ailments, uncertain circumstances in people's lives, and it troubles us. It puts us in a situation where it clouds our judgment, if you will, maybe even shakes our faith. And Jesus' disciples, in the 19th verse, Jesus answered, he said, "O faithless generation," he said, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him unto me. Bring that boy to me." And they brought him unto Jesus, unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. It surprises me that Jesus didn't heal that boy right away. And he asked his father, he said, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." I read a little note yesterday, somebody had written on a wall, it said, helping hands are better than praying lips. Well, maybe. In most people I know that pray for others in need are usually accompanying those prayers with helping hands. It usually goes together. It's not something that, you do one or the other. But the world out here, they resent people that don't have an immediate answer or immediate solution. I'm sick. They want to go to the doctor. They want the doctor to cure them right away. They get mad at the doctor when, say, for example, you know, there's no cure or, you know, there's no remedy for their problem. They get mad at the medical industry because they can't fix them. Well, people are so impatient and they have such an expectation that they want an answer and they want it now. You know, it's the McDonald's mentality. I want it and I want it now. Somebody drive up to McDonald's. I read a story where one time where somebody drove into McDonald's drive-thru and they didn't have Chicken McNuggets. And they got to the window and pulled a gun on the cashier because they were mad because they didn't have what they wanted, you know, to serve, what they wanted to order. We live in times where people have such a high expectation to satisfy and fulfill their own lusts of the flesh that they don't have any regard for other people, or they don't even have regard for the will of God in their life. They don't have regard for God's plan of salvation. They don't have regard for just the general. They don't have any regard for the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that some things can't be fixed overnight. You know, just take a man and his wife. They're fussing and fighting and got a problem. You're not going to solve that problem overnight. One trip to a marriage counselor isn't going to fix that problem. One dinner date, you know, night out together and leaving the kids at home isn't going to fix a problem that took years to create. And it's the same way with the Lord. There's no magic potion, if you will, of getting all your problems solved when you come to the Lord. It takes time. Now, for some people, some things happen overnight. You know, some people get saved and they quit smoking just like that. When I got saved, it took me 3 months to quit smoking. There's no magic solution in most cases in our life. There's no magic solution to just fixing a problem. That being said, the Spirit of God is pretty miraculous. It is like magic in some ways. But getting the Holy Ghost isn't magical. It's not a magical experience. You don't just come up, somebody wave a wand over you, and you get the Holy Ghost. It's not like that. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost isn't like, you know, somebody just laying hands on you and you just get it like that. Now, I got the Holy Ghost just like that when I got it. But I had been seeking it for 3 or 4 months. But when I got it, somebody laid hands on me and my spirit, my condition of my life was ready to receive it and I got it. Praise God. I mean, just like that. Just a matter of seconds. And it was wonderful. I thank God for that experience in my life. But what I'm trying to say is the things that we get from God aren't necessarily, it's not just like magic. It's not just going to happen like that. It takes a dedication. It takes a determination. It takes a willingness, just like that song said, I still trust you, Lord, through everything, through the highs, through the lows, when I'm my own worst enemy, I'm still trusting you, Lord. When I'm endangering my own salvation, when I'm jeopardizing myself, when I'm hurting myself, Lord, I'm still trusting you. I'm still trusting that you're going to have mercy on me. Brother Smith, you know, said that a week or so back. When he stands up, the first thing he says, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, of all the things that all my faults and my secret faults. And so Jesus, he told him, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And this man, you could tell that this man had he was determined. Don't you love parents that are determined for the welfare of their children? I do. I admire them. I tell you, I really do. I admire a father or a mother that goes out of their way to ensure the welfare and health and safety and happiness as much as they can for their children. And this man, you could tell he had a desire for that. He went to Jesus' disciples. He asked them. He saw that they had power, they had ability that he didn't have, and he took that extra step and he went to them. And they didn't have what what they didn't have the solution that he was looking for, that his boy needed. And so he went and found the Lord. And he asked, and he said, Jesus said, if thou canst believe. And this man, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. How come my boy is not healed? And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And straightway the father of the child cried out. He said, with tears. It touched the man deeply. He said, Lord, I believe. He said, but help thou my unbelief. And it said, the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. Talking about the boy. As soon as that man said it, Jesus saw the people, came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And then the spirit left him. Jesus took the boy by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose, 28th verse. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, they said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know, there's moments. I've got a friend of mine, his wife recently passed away, and he's not a Christian man. He's trying to be. He's never gone to church in his life, but he's trying to go now, and I admire him for that. But when his wife got sick, she withered away. It was really a sad situation for him. She was an alcoholic, and she just withered away. I mean, to the point where basically she just eventually dehydrated and her body shut down. And was he witnessed that in her life? Well, he looked like a beanpole. He just became a shell of a man. He just lost so much weight. He was fasting, but he was fasting over grief. He was grieving, and he was in such grief that he couldn't eat. He was in such turmoil that he couldn't eat. Well, that's okay. I mean, I know that happens. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about those times in your life when you can, but you don't. He's talking about those times in your life when you're making a sacrifice to put your wants and wishes aside for the will and for God's will, but for the good of others. And that's what he told me. The disciples said, why couldn't we? He said, these things only come by prayer and fasting. Well, what's that going to do? That's going to get them in touch with God. That prayer and that fasting is going to get them out of touch with themselves, out of touch with what they want, out of touch with what they're looking for, out of touch with what their expectations are, and get their mind where it's in tune, if you will, of what God has in store for them. There's another scripture I thought about here during the band song, or during that song Sister Cindy Smith was singing over in Psalm 73. 73 and 2. We'll start in the first verse. It said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. When I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued with other men, like other men. So the writer here, he saw, and it's so easy for us to do, you see somebody, and particularly you know, maybe it's always been like this, but I see people today that, you know, it's like they've got everything. Just their whole life is just a storybook. You know, they've got the good paying job. They've got the nice home. They've got the you know, nice vehicles. They're in the gym all the time, and they're fit and trim. And, you know, it's like they've got everything just worked out. And, you know, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I'll find myself envious. I'll find myself thinking, wow, you know, what do I got to do that? How, you know, how can I make that happen for me and my family? And, in fact, one time my wife and I were talking about something. I don't remember exactly what it was. And, you know, there's nothing better than money troubles. Money troubles will make you humble. It'll get you down on your knees praying. You know, when you can't pay the bills and you can't see any way to pay the bills and you know, and you can't see any way to stop the bills from increasing and it'll just work on you. And it'll, you know, it'll affect you. It'll affect everything about you, your sleep, your relationship with each other. So anyway, we was talking about that. I said, I wonder if they go to church anywhere. You know, we had some friends that were just seemed like they had the world by the tail. You know, they're on a downhill pool. So I wonder if they go to church anywhere. Well, they didn't. I already knew the answer to that. Pretty good bet that they didn't support any charitable efforts. They didn't donate. They didn't tithe. They didn't do anything except think of themselves. Well, you know, if you're sitting around, if all you're doing is thinking about me, 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 you can get a lot accomplished. You know, when it suits you, when it's you and your hopes and dreams, you can do a lot of things. But when you're putting yourself aside, when you're putting your hopes and dreams aside and you're carving out time in your week to gather in the house of God, when you're carving out of your pocketbook to help support the work of the Lord, when you're carving out your time to visit the fatherless and the widows, like James said, true religion, undefiled, when you're making time to help benefit others instead of yourself, you're going to run into shortfalls. You're going to run into deficiencies. There's going to be, you know, more month than there is paycheck. There's going to be times where you just don't know how to do everything that you need to do. But then there's going to be other times when God is just going to bless you and bless you and bless you. And you're going to enjoy those times. Praise God. And this writer, he said, my feet well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's times when you're going to be, just so tempted. Just tempted to live like the devil. Just tempted to go out and forsake all the good things that you know is true and chase the world. But then he saw their end. He said, so foolish was I. Let's see. Yes, thank you. In the 13th verse, said, verily I have cleansed my heart. This writer, he's so down on himself right here. He said, I cleansed my heart in vain. I wash my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. You know, woe is me, he says. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He said, but when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, that thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Talking about the wicked. He said, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. We've all been there. We've all found ourselves where we just lived in a moment of unbelief, where we just surrendered ourselves to unbelief, and we just didn't trust the Lord to see us through, that we thought the prosperity of the wicked was the answer. We've all found ourselves in those moments, and the Lord knows that there'd be more moments like that in my life. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves and coming together in the house of God. That's why we need each other. That's why we worship and pray and study and learn together. That's why this is like a family, because we're to help one another. We're to strengthen the hands that hang down. We're to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. We're to help each other, encourage each other with songs and testimony, praise God. We're to be lifted up in the Word of God and to be encouraged at the preaching of the Word of God. Yes, the world's full of turmoil and trouble. Yes, there's problems and sickness. Yes, there's things that come our way. Jesus told his disciples, he said, the poor you'll have always. There's always going to be somebody in need. There's always going to be somebody that's got a problem in their life. There's always going to be a miracle that's required. There's always going to be sickness that comes our way. But just like that song, the band song that we sang this morning, because he lives, thank God. Because he lives, thank God. I can face today. I can face tomorrow. I can face next week. I can face next year. I can face the rest of my life, thank God, with the hope in my life to know that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Even in those moments when my feet well nigh slipped. He said, so foolish was I. He said, I was like a beast. Well, what hope does a beast have? Proverbs said, Psalm said that the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind just driveth away. They have no hope. They're like a beast that just dies. There's no resurrection for a beast, for an animal. I'm sorry. I'd like to take my hound dog to heaven, but he ain't going. I'm going to enjoy him now. How about that? There's no resurrection for animals. They don't have a hope. Lucky old cow, they used to say. All the animals that are alive when the Lord comes, they get to stay alive. How about that? Lucky old cow. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Hold on a minute. Let me go back to this 23rd verse. It said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Jesus told that woman, he said, if you drink of what I have, you'll never thirst again. That's what this writer said. He said, there is none on earth for me. There's none that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't you know that father, when his boy was delivered from that evil spirit? Don't you know? When he laid his head down that night, there was such a gratitude in his life. He was probably so happy that he couldn't contain it. He would probably go to speak, and the words weren't sufficient for how he felt. And there's probably just times where he's, oh, thank you. Oh. (laughs) probably would go look on his boy and see him sleeping and just be marveled. My God, my boy has been healed. He's been delivered. The next day, there's no telling, he probably went to town. You know, they didn't have refrigerators and, you know, running water. They had to go get their water. They had to go to, you know, they might have had canned goods or whatever, but they didn't just have a storehouse, you know, a pantry and a refrigerator, so they got a lot of their food fresh and such. So he probably went into town, face just radiant. First person he saw might have been his worst enemy. Let me tell you about what happened. If the fame hadn't already spread abroad, he probably couldn't contain himself about the goodness of the Lord. Here I am, you know, I think about that, and what, I hope you don't think less of me when I tell you this, but I'm sharing this with you just so you know I'm where I come from. But here I am, my children, I thank all our children, Gladys, that they all got in the Holy Ghost here at this church. And, you know, we of course, with Facebook, you know, you share everything, right? Well, I got a lot of friends I grew up with. They don't know nothing about Holy Ghost Church. They don't have any clue about holy rollers or what it means to speak in tongues. And they see somebody in church with their hands up and tears running down their face. They think something's wrong. And, of course, it's not wrong. But they don't understand. And I don't want to bring confusion to them. I think sometimes I saw something last night. Well, I should be careful with how I say that. But sometimes the only picture that we paint people of our church is pictures of... No, I'm not talking about... Let me rephrase that, because it didn't happen in this church. Sometimes the only picture that we paint of holy rollers are pictures of our hands in the air, face all in contortion, you know, contorted, and tears and screaming. And there's not there's not another side that's ever been presented of, you know, the mannerly ways about us, the nice, you know, way we treat each other and present ourselves and the charity and the love that we show. Sometimes we don't always reflect that to the rest of the world. And I think, you know, it's probably an error in some ways. And so when my children got the Holy Ghost, I didn't know how to tell the world about it. And then think, the Holy Ghost, what, you know, what is that? You know, some sort of haunted church or something. People don't understand, you know, and the Holy Ghost movement in this country is, you know, almost 100 years old, and so that's been long forgotten by a lot of people. Now, I know that in the 50s, there was another strong move of the Holy Ghost here in the United States, and people received, you know, outpourings and all kinds of groups of people, including on Shepherdsville Hill, which I think was very significant. But, you know, a lot of people associate it with, you know, the charismatic Benny Hinn type, and pardon me for mentioning his name, but you've seen it on TV where they just breathe on them or push them over and all that stuff, and there's just such a negative connotation. And so I'm ashamed to admit, but I didn't have that same enthusiasm that man probably had when his son was delivered from that spirit. I didn't just radiate. I mean, I was so excited. I did tell him. I went to work and told him about it, and I posted on Facebook and told my family. I was excited. I'm excited when my kids get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Woo! Because I want them to have it. They need it. You know, it's the beginning of life as far as I'm concerned. But I know I didn't have the same kind of feeling that man had when his son got delivered. I'm sure that he was just so excited. He went to town. He probably told everybody about it. Everybody that would listen. And you know, the disciples, the Jewish people, they got mad at Jesus for doing miracles and so forth, particularly on the Sabbath day. And they got pretty frustrated with him, accused him of other, of things. And he, he's looking at him like, how can you be mad at me when I just healed a man that was lame from his mother's womb? From his mother's womb. I healed him and now you're mad at me. On a Sabbath day. What difference does it make? He told him over in, I think it's John 6. He said, if you had to circumcise a child, you'd have done it on the Sabbath day. He said, here, I healed a man. Now you're mad at me. Some people are going to be mad no matter what. Some people are just going to be mad no matter what. I still trust the Lord. I still trust Him. And so, my encouragement to y'all this morning is the Lord has brought us here for a reason. He's brought us here. Aren't you glad that you're here today? I am. I really enjoyed our song service, and I hope it sounded like you had a good Bible discussion. We're in the class next door, and, Brother Durham, I didn't know if you could keep those kids under control in your class. They got a little noisy, a little rowdy. It's hard. Gladys and I, we used to teach the smaller, younger class. I don't know how long it's been, but maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we taught them for a few years, you get them in there, they get excited, you start singing songs like Father Abraham and many sons, start clapping, they get loud, they want to play, and you're always worried that they're, so loud that everybody else could hear that you could hear them out in the adult class. So today, in our class, in the teen class, we could hear the adults. So I don't know what you guys were doing, playing ring around the pose, I don't know, I'm just kidding. But it sounded like you had a good discussion. But here we are today in the house of God, and we had a good song service, a band service. The band song was fantastic, Brother Michael. I really appreciate that. Because He lives, thank God, I can face tomorrow. And then we entered into a good worship. I lift my hands in honor, thank God. And here we are in this setting, this wonderful house of God. And we have a sister, is it Alma? From Lake Jackson, Texas, here with us today, and Sister Olivia Kitchens. We're thankful for them. Praise God. Sister June Harden, we're glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. Hope you're feeling better. And we're happy. We miss those that aren't here. Brother Smith is in the Northeast, been to a meeting in New York City, and I guess now he's probably visiting some churches up in the Northeast. Haverhill, Massachusetts. In Rhode Island. Home late tomorrow night, so we'll be praying to have a safe travel. Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea and Bridget are all sick. He texted this morning and said that they've been up all night. The joys of parenthood. Glass and I, we had one child when Brother Ellis said that to me. We had two children. And I thought about that today, Brother Matt, when you was holding your two girls. I used to do that with my girls. I tried the other day, but they said, Dad, that's okay, Dad. Wasn't enough for him. I used to pick all three of them up. I could for a little while. I could pick all three of them up and hold them in my arms. After I tried it again last week and it just didn't work out. But anyway, we had two kids, and Brother Jim Ellis, he's a pastor in Pearl, Mississippi. Now, he wasn't then, but he is now. And He said, "Brother the painter," he said, "I prophesy over you that you're going to have 5 kids. I only had 2 at the time. I didn't want any more. Sorry, Nath. And I'm glad I got you now, though, buddy. I didn't want any more. I was happy with 2. And so I rebuked him in a joking, loving way. He is still my elder, and I was being playful. But let me tell you, he wasn't when he rebuked me. There was no laughing about it. I said, "I hope you're a false prophet." So every now and then, Glass and I recount that. Of course, we have 4, and now we got them dumb dogs, but that's like having full-time kids. They don't ever stop. And I said, "No, I don't want anyone." She said, "Oh, but when you're holding that baby," I said, "Not for me. I'm done having kids. I don't want any more kids." So let's pray for Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea and Bridget. I know they're tired, and that's so taxing. It's just mentally and physically, because that baby, your baby goes to coughing, and they're, you know, what do you do? There's just so many things you can do, and then you just have to trust the Lord and get some rest when you can, and let's remember them in prayer. Brother Brett and Sister Joanne are on the road somewhere in the West, Colorado, New Mexico, somewhere out in there. Remember that they'll have safe travels. Any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, thank you. Brother Jerry York is in the hospital. And I have his latest, but if you don't mind, Sister Lisa. They're going to keep him in the hospital today and tonight, and then run some tests on him tomorrow. He's in Baptist room 949, and they think they're not sure if he had a heart attack, and they're going to run some tests tomorrow to help determine the better diagnosis circumstance. So let's continue to pray for him and Sister York. Michelle, remember DJ. Okay, very good. Yes, ma'am. Special unspoken request. Remember your son, Dylan. He's a long ways from home. We miss him. Any other? Remember Brother Ron's wife, Beth. Lord, be with her. Praise God. Are there any other requests here today? Yes. Sister Harden, you're going to have a procedure tomorrow at the hospital. Right? Okay. We'll be praying for you tomorrow at noon. And your procedure there. Sister Veeley. There it is. Is that in Macon? In Macon, Georgia? Oh, wow. Okay. She has cancer, and they're going to scan her whole body. She's had cancer before, and now it's back. Right through the lymphatic system. Just remember her. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? Brother Mark? Unspoken request. Maybe by the uplift of your hands, if you have an unspoken request, make it known to the Lord. The Lord knows our hearts and our needs. The ushers will come forth. We'll receive the offering this morning and take our needs to the Lord. Praise God. We trust Him today. We trust Him. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand and take our needs to the Lord. Oh God, we trust You, Jesus. We trust You. You're our hope. You're our shield, our buckler. Oh, God, You're our fortress. Oh, God, put a hedge around Your people today, Lord, and protect them. Oh, God, when the enemy lifts up a flood against us, Lord, let Your Spirit raise up and protect us, dear Lord Jesus. Jesus, watch over Brother Smith as he's traveling. Bless his journey. Anoint his words, oh God. Inspire those that are hearing him, oh God. Jesus, watch over him and keep him. Oh God, help those that are in need here today. Help Brother York there in the hospital, dear Lord, and Sister Sandra. Touch Brother and Sister Crow, oh God. You know their needs. Oh, Jesus, help Sister Veely, Lord, in that circumstance, and her husband, oh, God, in their time of need. Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea, Lord, those that are traveling, those that aren't here today for various reasons, Lord, let your Spirit of God reach down and touch them in their beds, in their homes, in their cars, oh, God, wherever they are. Oh, God, let them feel your love in their life, dear Lord Jesus, I pray. Oh, I bless your name, dear Lord. Bless this offering that we're about to receive, Lord, that your name would be lifted up, that your work would be edified, oh God, with these funds. Jesus, let your will be done here in our lives, in this church, in this city. Oh God, bless this nation, oh God. Draw us together as a nation under you, Lord. I love you and I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Praise God.
The lady that went up to talk, I can't remember the name. Sister Clark. We went Wednesday morning to their prayer, but was having a little difficulty finding it, so I guess we got there about 10 after 10. It started at 10. It reminded you of when we were in the Dominican Republic. They were down, so if it started at 10, it couldn't have been going on long, but maybe 10 minutes. They were just in travail and deep intercessory prayer. And she was praying, but she was talking, had the mic and had music going. And it was such a deep, rich spirit. And Sister Linda and I both were saying, oh, God, this spirit, a people that's seeking the Lord to intercede. And as Sister June was saying this morning, in all that they know how and how deep within my spirit I begin to appreciate the Lord for the word. Like when Brother Painter was talking today and Brother Durham in the Bible study this morning and that intercessory prayer that they were travailing in, that spirit in all truth and honesty and giving all they could to the Lord, we begin to say, Lord, if we had the whole matter. I know we don't have the whole matter, but think about if we had the whole matter, that word that we get in and we rejoice in the word and in that prayer, that spirit that we enter in, what is it going to be like when we get the whole thing? Glory to be whole just to think about it. When she was at Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, hallelujah, the highest praise, glory to God. When we get the whole thing, I just know right now I would not be able to contain. In that I am not, I would not, but I'm praying and believing and not, as Brother Smith was saying, different people that have been here in the past, people that have never been here, people that are coming here. When we get together and see eye to eye and we see the whole matter, yes. What a wonder that will be. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory
hallelujah.
To God.
Bless the Lord.
Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Of course, we need to keep doing what we're doing. Stay on the firing line. Keep working the row. Keep harvesting. Keep planting. Keep growing. Praise God. Thank God. I thank God for this day. We have service tonight at 5 o'clock. Soon we'll have band practice tonight at 4 o'clock. And who knows what the Lord has in store for us tonight? I'm sure it'll be good. keep our hearts and minds in tune with the Lord and come out expecting Him to receive what He has for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's stand and be dismissed and be mindful of all of our needs, and also hope that y'all have a nice meal, and we'll see you back here for service tonight. Praise God, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Blessed be your name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Go with us and keep us in your care till we meet again, dear God. Hallelujah. 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 See you all in a little while.